Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Oh, how's it going, buddy?
It's been a hectic morning over here at the Casa de la Cuts. We had Reina come in. We had the work maintenance guys coming in and out of here. They're working on the pipes, I guess. So they had to come and check to see all the piping and plumbing. And then it's been a lot. I had to run a bunch of errands. My review mirror fell off the freaking Jag. I'm trying to put the thing back on, try to find a temporary freaking solution for it. It's been a hectic morning over here.
So how are you putting that thing back on? You a little duct tape or what?
No, I mean, I think you need an adhesive or like some super glue or some shit. I'm not fucking with it. I called my buddy who's a mechanic. I think tomorrow he's free. I'm going to bring it in and I'm just have to swallow my pride. I'll be driving through Beverly Hills with a review mirror just dangling in front of the freaking in the car. I just brought it in, got waxed and cleaned. And I guess the guy was cleaning it and fucking jarred it loose or some shit. And I'm like, oh, the car looks phenomenal. It's waxed. I got that, you know, that carbo wax on there. Car looks phenomenal. The fucking review mirror's hanging down. It's just a terrible look.
Looks as phenomenal as an 05 car can look. You know,
the 05 Jag, it's by the way, it's a very classy looking vehicle. When you see that garbanzo wax put in there, it looks stunning until the fucking review mirror came just I don't know, out of nowhere. The thing just came flying down while I was mid-drive, almost caused me an accident. Scared the bejesus out of me.
Last week you were telling us about how it's one of the first things to go once those checks start flying in. Now the guy's telling me it's a hell of a car with garbanzo wax on it.
But no, you know, I spruced it up. I got Perez coming in today. He's staying with me for what, 4 days?
So he's not there yet?
Nah, he's flying in. So I also had to fly. I had to drive over to Bob's this morning. I had to give him the keys because Bob's picking Perez up from the airport. I got to go to work. So Bob's going to give Perez the keys to my apartment. So it's just been a hectic morning. I've just been all over the place this morning. I really haven't even had a chance just to settle myself in here. The food from my DoorDash got fucking pushed back. So we're going to have probably an interruption mid-podcast for the food. I mean, it harkens back
to the early days of the Sportsman when I felt like you were always getting food in the middle. So we'll take a little pause. I mean, you get your food, you do what you got to do. We'll hit pause here and we'll come back.
I got to tell you, the golf matchups, I'm almost done with them, dude. I am, for all intents and purposes, I have been getting destroyed by golf matchups. I just can't hit.
You talking in terms of betting?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you have money on right now? And what's the
I only took one match today because I said, you know what? Before I was taking three or four and I was trying to play around and I was just getting smacked around, dude. You know? So today all I have is I have Leishman against Horschel, who just apparently birdied again. He's 3 under on the front nine. So that looks as good as dead. I was going to take our guy, Bo Hostler. He's doing amazing. All right. Leishman's 1 under. He's 2 back.
All right. Focus up here, Cutsy. Focus up here.
I know. I'm sorry. I told you there's been a lot going on. There's a lot of distractions.
I'm getting a whole different Cutsy than I talked to on the phone yesterday. Okay. Focus.
No.
Fraba. All right.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Yes, I'm with
never
you.
Never seen Anger Management with Jack Nicholson?
A long time ago, that scene from the Buddhist monks was hysterical.
The whole thing is. Anyway, we have a couple of different things we could jump into today. And it all depends on what you're comfortable talking about. Do you want to give us a little bit of taste of what's going on with Joey Colt Coronas? Or should we move on past that for now?
Oh, I mean, it's not much to say. You know, the boy signed a big time deal. And you know, it's just this.
Not much simple to say. Just, I mean, Corona's changed my entire life. I mean, there's really not much else to say. Come on, give us a little behind the scenes. What's going on? You guys Corona. What's going on with you guys? How they treat?
I guess what is the term? Brand ambassadors? I don't know. We're sponsored by Corona now, which
better
is kind of cool.
Know it.
You know, I hope that they do, you know, like an ambassador meetup. Maybe I can meet Snoop Dogg. You know, that'd be kind of nice. You know, I don't know. He's on another level than us. But no, it's cool, man. They reached out to us. They want us to start working with them and growing golf. And I think they're going to get us into some tournaments and whatnot. And hopefully that, you know, I don't know. Maybe they have Masters tournament, you know, hookups. Who knows? Not for this year, but hopefully, you know, things go well. And, you know, moving forward, we have some opportunities. But, yeah, no, it's really cool, man. It's, you know, this whole thing has kind of, you know, come through, you know, 180. I mean, we started doing this just for fun, creating videos and having fun with it and not thinking much of it. And now it's really kind of just, it's crazy to think how big these things have become. And you know, and I think honestly, just not to toot my own horn, but I think just to start, I really do expect big things from me and Bob. And, you know, these companies are starting to reach out to us now. So it's really cool to see it come full circle like that, from us just filming on a shitty iPhone to now we signing some brand sponsorships, you know, Tick?
Snapping necks and cashing checks. Do you think if Corona brand ambassadorship, if they had a hotel for all you guys, obviously Snoop Dogg's top floor penthouse, maybe yeah. Right underneath him is like Tony Romo. That's where John Gruden used to be, but now that's a vacant room. Do you think you and Bob are like second, third floor? And do you have access to the penthouse for, say, a
not
part?
Yet, no. We got some proving to do.
You got some proving to do. But Snoop might invite you up just to get you a little taste of what the penthouse.
Well, I mean, we'd be invited to the party. That's all I need.
That's right.
Get me in. You know what I mean? Just get me into the scene. And that's where I thrive. That's where I do my best, you know, and that's where we're at right now. So
there's a lot of people, especially in LA, who say, all I need is a foot in the door. I need is a foot in the door. And you know what? They need a whole lot more than that, because once they get their foot in the door, then their foot ends up in their mouth and they're right back out the fucking door. You are a guy who I really believe does just need that foot in the door. And then you're off and running, man. You're out there running with the horses. And I think that this is just the beginning of that. So this is very exciting. I know it's the beginning. You don't have a lot to report just yet, but this to me, I mean, this is where it all starts. This is huge. This is the beginning. Yeah. And it's well-deserved. And it's the beginning of a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, man. And it's going to be cool to see, like, once, you know, I have more free time after the job, you know, is done, and you know, I can just focus solely on this. I think there's a lot of opportunities to build this. I think, and that's then, a food hold on 1 second here. Hello,
is this Joey?
It is Joey. Yes,
thought I'd reach out to you regarding, I guess maybe you might be looking for some Masters information.
Wow. Yeah, well, I'm actually filming a podcast right now, Rom. Sorry to bother you, but yeah, no, I saw he sent us a message. He said that you were the golden goose of Masters tickets, so to speak.
Well, you go finish doing what you're doing, and this is my cell phone, so feel free to call me anytime.
Okay? Oh, don't you? Your number will be saved. Don't worry.
Are you from Canada?
I am from Canada, yes.
Yeah. All right. I lived in Canada myself. You just had a Canadian accent, so.
Wow, maybe, that's good. I hope there's a Canadian discount there as well, maybe.
We'll have to work it out. We'll figure it out.
But, all right, my friend.
Enjoy your day. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for calling. Look at that. Masters tickets.
Wow. Ram Silverstein just dropped his cock on the table mid-cast.
I don't even know if you edit that out. I don't even know if you have to edit that out.
No, that's staying in. That one's staying in. Ram Silverstein stays.
Oh, and the Jersey Mike's just got dropped off at the house. I mean, it's all coming together. Now if we could just find a mechanic to fix
it's
the fucking
mirror. Coming up
mirror,
Joseph right now. I think the good. Mirror is going to stay broken. But all right, man, do you want to hit pause real quick, go eat, and then we'll come back and hit this hard?
Yeah, is that okay?
100%, man. This is the power of editing.
All right. Give me like 5-10 minutes, okay?
All right, there's the big man. He's back. He's back. Can we hear him? Can we hear the big man?
I'm here. I'm feeling good.
Okay.
By the way, Jersey Mike's, this is a company I can get behind. Have you tried their sandwiches, Dick?
I got to say, you know, we joined earlier about 10, 15 minutes ago, and the world was falling down around him. But in the last 20 minutes, I mean, we got a Masters ticket call. We got the belly full of Jersey Mike's, picking the meat out of his teeth still.
I mean, how crazy was that guy's calling me about Masters tickets?
What a turnaround.
Like, during the podcast, he's probably going to charge me fucking $5,000 for a ticket.
Whoa, I thought he was a hookup. I thought he was handing them out for free.
I don't think so.
Well, just bear in mind that Augusta is not far from South Carolina. So when you're thinking about buying tickets, you think about the big ticket.
Well, I got to have, at some point, we mentioned him last week. Brian Bear is all my best friend back in Canada. It's his lifelong dream to go to freaking Augusta. Like, lifelong bucket list. So I had this guy hit me up today so he could possibly get us practice tickets or regular tournament tickets, but he said regular tournament tickets would probably be pretty pricey. And I told Bearzall, he was freaking out. So one day it will happen.
Bearzall's going to have a heart attack in the next few years, I think you guys are going to get free tickets the rest of your life. I mean, just give it a couple of years and you guys won't pay for a thing for the rest of your life.
Well, that's what I think. I think hopefully with the connections we're making, by the way, our guy Bo Hostler is tied for second, four under, one of the friends of the pod.
There
so, you know, as we start to make more connections, you know, hopefully we won't even have to talk prices. We'll just have tickets be available and we can go check out, you know, Magnolia Lane.
Yeah, man, if these tickets are more than $500, tell your buddy to eat healthy and just hang on a couple of years.
You're keep the blood pressure in check. Just make sure you do every once in a while, you do a full body checkup with
and he'll be going to the Masters the next 20 years of his life. I mean, that's the way I see it, but who knows, you know.
Maybe Corona gets us tickets.
Maybe Corona gets you tickets. Hey, that's what I'm saying, man, is you're a brand ambassador now, and especially your lane is golf. It's not like you're in golf and you're trying to get, you know, Stanley Cup tickets. I mean, this is your wheelhouse here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to want you there at the Masters.
You know, you speak a lot of sense, Tick, you know.
Now, really? You know what? Actually, I just thought of this. The Masters takes your phone. Yeah, man. I think Bob was actually telling me this. You can't have your phone in there. Geez. So that's why you don't see a lot of like promos and specials coming from the Masters. They don't want you.
That's, you know, I mean, I get it. I would be respectful of the case, but like that, you want to film something.
I know. I mean, and that kind of leads into one of these fan questions we have today, but we're not there yet. We'll get there.
The practice round, you can actually film, but you cannot for the actual regular round. Like for the practice rounds, you're allowed to bring a camera.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's just ridiculous what they got going on for the Masters, but it is still one of the best shows in town when it comes to golf.
Talking about his best show in town, how about your 76ers, Tick?
Okay, I am stoked. We've played three games so far, one against the T-Wolves, two against the Knicks, one in New York, one in Philadelphia, and we just look unstoppable. We look like the best team NBA's had.
Harden looks really good.
We look fucking good. I mean, I don't know what else to say, really. I mean, Harden, Maxey off ball. He's getting 25 a night. This kid keeping him was the key. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. Keeping him and not involving him in a trade was the key to this team actually being a contender, Joseph. And
are you excited?
I think we're the team to beat.
I do.
And I don't give a fuck about Ben Simmons anymore. I kept saying, let's go what Ben Simmons is all about with the Nets. I don't really give a fuck anymore. I think
he played a game yet for them? I don't even think he's played yet.
No, and no one knows what the problem is, but that's no longer our problem. That's their problem.
I kind of wish Drummond was still your problem because he looks really good.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck the Nets. Fuck Drummond. Fuck all those guys. And they got Kevin Durant. And if they're not careful, Cutsy, he could be the next Glassman. I could be taking that nickname that I have so generously given to AD. And that could be KD's new nickname, the Glassman. I mean, he's coming back. He's coming back this Thursday against the Heat. KD is back. But let's see if he lasts longer than a week. Because I don't know if that MCL could hold him much longer. I just don't know.
I think he'll be okay.
You do? Yeah, haven't you seen him get hurt a million times in his career? What makes you think he's going to be okay?
A million times. I mean, he had the Achilles was the big one. Obviously.
He's gone out 1,000 different times. I can't even keep track anymore. I need more hands.
He's played a lot of games, though. It's not like he's not like Zion Williamson, who, by the way,
well, I don't even consider him a player in the NBA.
This guy is a glass vase. He's like, you know what he's like? He's like in the beginning, you ever watched the movie Ghost where they're making that clay pot? He's the pot, but it never got finished. he's still working on it, but it just hasn't really, you know, it hasn't amounted to much. That's Zion for you. Just a clay pot that never.
I've talked to a lot of people who don't even think he's hurt. He's just overweight and he's not ready to come back.
Did you hear this? I heard this was very interesting.
Yeah.
Is the Pelicans, they did their promo for like the new year, like for next year's home tickets and whatnot, like to try to start like promoting. And they had, you know, McCollum, they had Ingram, they had all these guys. They didn't put a single picture of Zion in the promos.
That's not good.
Which leads a lot of people to believe that maybe they're done. Maybe they're ready to move on without him. You know, I mean, it's definitely, you know. And then begs the question, if you're one of these other teams, do you take a chance on him? I do think that if you get Zion Williamson in, you know, a properly regimented, you know, environment, you know, get him around like a Pat Riley or get him around somebody who can kind of motivate him to get back into shape. He's got all the talent in the world, man.
You know what would be sick is if he went to Portland. If he went to Portland with Damian Lillard, those two together.
I heard someone was spoofing. I had to double check. I heard that he did go to Portland, but it was one of those trade spoofs. I had to double check. But that would be really, really cool.
That would be special. I mean, he's the most expensive price tag for a guy who offers nothing to a team I've seen in a long time.
He's played, so good though, Tick. Like he's definitely a game changer when he plays.
Is he a game changer? I mean, I think the Pelicans still sucked when he played. They sucked.
Have you seen his statistics?
Yes, stats. He's a stat machine, but the Pelicans still stunk. I mean, he's not like LeBron James carrying the Cavaliers in his early days to the finals. I mean, this guy's still not a playoff team, even when he's in. He's young and he's overweight. And if he can overcome these problems, not that being young's a problem, but if he can get himself in shape.
Listen to this, Tick. He's played 85 games, okay? 85, which, by the way, is nothing. But in 85 games, he's averaged 25.7 points. He's almost averaging 26 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 3.2 assists a game. Those are big numbers.
I need more rebounds out of him. If he's going to carry me to a finals, I mean, I need, for what he's getting paid, he's got to be LeBron James in 04 with the Cavs, man. He's got to be taking him to the finals. I mean, otherwise, worth it. He ain't worth it. And this guy's knees are bum. They're bum knees. These things are broken. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Pelicans. All I know is back to James Harden. I mean, you've watched. I pretty much kind of hogged that segment there. Have you watched any of the games with him? What do you think?
I saw few days ago. They played in New York. And yep. By the way, this if anybody is looking to place almost a surefire bet, the Sixers first half is almost undefeated. I mean, last night I didn't touch it, but most of the times, first half, the Sixers come out just firing away. Like, it's a good bet. But I was watching them, and dude, Harden looked really good, man. He looked like he was having fun. Him and, it's just Embiid. The way that he's holding himself, and Embiid, they're high-fiving and dabbing each other up. Like, he looks happy to be there, dude. And he's slimmed down. Have you seen this?
And he looks who else really looks slim. Happy is Joel Embiid. I mean, I haven't seen him too happy most of his time in Philly. It's like a new man.
He was miserable with Simmons.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't be? That guy's a fucking emotional train wreck. I mean, he makes me sad just looking at him. But I mean, Matisse is having a good time. Maxie's having a good time. Even Doc. Doc's like wiping the sweat off his brow. He's like, holy shit, I might have a shot again at not being called a hack coach, which right now, so far.
Are you a fan of Doc?
No, I'm not. I think he's one of the most overrated coaches of all time. Couldn't win with that Celtics team. And he had so many opportunities, so many 3-1 series leads in the playoffs that he just blew with the Clippers. I mean, blew. Couldn't make it out of the first round. And last year with the Sixers, sort of a disappointment. Not all his fault, but just he doesn't seem to overcome a bad roster. And that's what really good coaches are supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree. I do think he has some savviness. He's got some swag for sure.
Oh, he's got some swag. Oh, he's got some. No, who I'd like to
pick it up over there for you guys, which would really like it would make all the world of a difference. Tobias Harris has got to pick it up.
Yeah, and he is a little bit. I mean, it's slowly but surely he is. But he needs
your
to
number
be that,
three or four option.
He like needs to be that. He needs to be the third or fourth option to be effective. He is a guy who does not like the spotlight. He likes to quietly get 20 and 10. And now that James Harden's there and
he might be
and,
able to do that now.
Exactly. And Maxie's exploding and Joel is obviously doing his thing. He gets to slide in under the radar and be that third or fourth option again. And I think over time, when he gets more comfortable in that system, especially if we bring in right now, we don't have a second center. So he's sort of acting as like our second center right now. And we might bring word is we might bring in DeAndre Jordan, who I'm not a huge fan of. But he can rip down boards. If you ask this guy to do nothing but rip down boards.
I don't mind that, DeAndre Jordan.
I don't mind that either.
A guy like him or Montrez. I'm Montrez Harrell's just got traded, so that won't happen. Yeah, but like, those kind of guys, they are beneficial to have because they bring a lot of energy. They bring a lot of passion, and they're super skilled in that department with rebounds, getting offensive boards, fighting, creating traffic in the lane. And, that would be good for you.
And bringing in that second center would allow Toby to kind of reel back into the position that he's meant to be playing, which is more small and power forward. And I think he could get comfortable being that third or fourth option scoring and sort of really fade into the background and become part of the wallpaper and just do his thing. So I think only good things to come for the Sixers, man. I really think we're the team to beat. I really. And you know how down I usually am on Philly sport.
Yeah,
I usually take a pessimist sort of point of view, but I feel good. man, I really do. All right. Well, moving on. I wanted to see if you saw this headline. I've been talking a lot about this kid from Pitt, the quarterback, Kenny Pickett. You had to endure it the entire season. I was like, Hurts is not our guy. We want Kenny Pickett from Pitt. Now, he is now being seen as probably the number one QB off the board. I mean, not a super special QB class, but he will be the first QB off the board most likely. And that's a special time in your life, whether you're Trevor Lawrence or someone like Kenny Pickett, who doesn't seem to have as high a ceiling, obviously. That's a high point in your life. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. And this kid has to wake up today, look at ESPN, and see one of the top articles. This is the headline, Kutzy. This is the headline. Kenny Pickett's hands measure 8.5 inches, smaller than any QB currently in the NFL. I mean, that is sort of an embarrassing headline, right? He's basically being called out by ESPN. This guy's got a small dick. This guy's got small hands.
Does that have any correlation? I thought it was feet.
I'm seeing a lot of people make fun of him. I mean, hands, feet, pain. I mean, it seems like they go together. It's not always true, but that's just
what I'm saying.
The
how
internet's going to take it, and I've already seen him taking it there. I mean, that's an embarrassing headline. I've never seen ESPN go so savage on a guy. I mean,
I don't think they mean anything by it. I mean, it's one of the things they're trying to say is
smaller ripping the hands than any football QB and having currently in the NFL. 8.5. Like
Justin
inches.
Herbert has big hands.
Big old fucking hands. That's a big boy. That's a big boy. That's a guy I want.
But I'm saying you would like to think that if he's scrambling, he can palm the ball with one hand.
Well, they also call him Kenny Two Gloves. He wears two two gloves so he can hold on to the ball because his hands are so small. He needs that extra grip.
What does he put the stick on the gloves or what does he?
I don't know what he does, but his hands are so
small. I'm not a big fan of this guy. I mean, what it was, you know, you think he seems to think he's the answer, but I think he, I mean, yeah, he's good. I'm never high on quarterbacks coming out of college. They need some time to develop in the NFL. And, you know, what was he best known for this year was like the fake slide where he continued running. I mean, that was kind of cool. No,
that was sick. That was sick. That was, I mean, he's cool.
I'll give him that. Yeah, no, I'll give him that. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying, like, I don't think this year's quarterback draft class is all that, you know, is all that hot.
No, I mean, now is that true? You've never seen a guy come out of college where you're like, that guy's the future. You don't like to
make. I'm saying sort of- that it takes it normally from what I've seen quarterbacks coming out of the you know, from college into the NFL. There's a learning curve, you know. Sure. Even Trevor Lawrence, by all intents and purposes, he didn't have a very good year because the best quarterbacks normally go to the worst teams. So there's not like they're not coming out right out of the gates. Joe Burrow is one guy I would make an exception with. He looked, from the moment he came out and, you know, was with the Bengals, he looked like he hadn't missed a beat since they had that championship game where he won with LSU. Like, he looked phenomenal. But, like, most of the time there is absolutely – and even, like, Justin Fields this year, he looked very good at certain moments. But it's a tough jump, man. It's a really hard jump. So, like, all these guys – coming out of college, it's going to take some time. I mean, Peyton Manning, arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL, he was horrific in his rookie season.
Yeah, horrific. He threw a lot of picks.
Tons of picks.
The only other guy that comes to mind for me who came out right out of college was Russell Wilson. He had a very good year, too, when he first came out. And the two things those guys have in common, Mr. Russell Wilson and Joe Burrow, they came out as seniors, I believe, or Russell Wilson was at least a junior. They're on the older end. They didn't come out as soon as they possibly could. And that's what Kenny Pickett is too. I mean, that one of the best arguments for him is he's going to be 24 and he, you know, those guys, he's got a lot of experience under his belt and I like his style of play. That's more of what I was referring to when I was saying, I think he'd be a good fit in Philly is I'm sort of sick of these guys running around trying to make plays happen. That's what Carson Wentz was. That's what Jalen Hurts is. And this guy's more of a pocket passer. Can he run? Yes, sort of more like a Justin Herbert. I'm not going to say he's as good as, but the style of play is more similar to a Justin Herbert. And I'm sort of aching for that kind of quarterback to come back to Philadelphia. Is he the answer? I don't know. Is he going to be the answer for anybody? I don't know. But I like
his style of play. Just to make something clear, are you not a Justin – not Justin Herbert, sorry. Are you not a Jalen Hurts guy then? You don't think he's the future for the Eagles?
I think
if you're saying question. That this guy, that Pickett could be the future, then that means you're not sold on Hurts. And I know he's had some really good moments.
And you know what? Being he's a good quarterback, really bad moments he's had well. Some really bad moments too. I will say, from year one to year two, tremendous improvement. If he can put that kind of improvement in again from year two to year three, then he's worth hanging on to. So it comes down to in the building, watching him day to day. Do you think he can grow? Now, I'm not in the building day to day. That's where you got to trust the coaching staff and the people who evaluate talent. If you believe he can make that jump again from year two to year three, then you hang on to him and you just go after defense and maybe another offensive lineman in the draft. But if you don't think he can grow too much more, I think you got to start looking at QB options, whether that's going to get a Russell Wilson, someone in free agency or making a trade or looking at the QB class. But I will say this one thing about Jalen Hurts. If someone can improve, if someone can get better, he's got the kind of mentality to do it. He is the hardest working guy. He is a leader in that locker room. And you can't find anyone who says bad things about the man that Jalen Hurts is, the character of the man.
Yeah, so, he's a stand-up guy.
He really is.
No issues with him whatsoever from that perspective. I think that he holds himself with, you know, a high level of respect too. Like, he's just a guy that you would want to model your franchise around. Like, he doesn't complain. He's not yelling. He's pumping up his teammates. He says and does all the right things. I just think he just needs more experience. I think
Yeah, you know? And his deep ball, his arm. I mean, is that something that you?
But sometimes it looks good though, Tick. There's the thing is with him is there's no consistency. Like there's games he looks unreal, and then there's games like that last game. God help us against the Bucks. That was tough to watch, dude.
That was tough to watch.
How is the body of work so high one day and then the next day so subpar? It is a little concerning to where I would understand why you have a little bit of questions and you know, uncertainty moving forward. But
well, you got to question the game plan too. I mean, like why? I mean, they didn't even try to get the ball to Devonta Smith. I mean, is that on him? Is that on Jalen Hurts or is that on the play calling? Or, you know, so, I mean, they look terrible, but one has to wonder, was that all on Jalen or was that on Nick Sirianni and the offensive coordinator and the way they drew up going against the Bucks? So I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of leaving it up right now to what the people in the organization think. I mean, they got to see what he's putting out week to week, because from what we just looked at the game tape, you can't have a guy who's good 50% of the time. I mean, that's just not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it.
Not at that position.
No. All right. So moving on. I mean, I don't have too many things to talk about this week, but I did want to bring up one more thing, and it does have to do with the Eagles again. The quarterback from North Carolina, Sam Howell, another guy who a lot of people, I mean, he's one of the better quarterbacks in this draft. The Eagles had a pre-interview with this guy. Okay. And it was a little unorthodox, to say the least. The Eagles had him come in and shoot basketballs on a mini hoop during the pre-draft meeting. Now,
what was the point of that?
I don't know. Is our coach just looking for a guy to hang out with? Is
he
just
looking for
a guy to go to Dave and Buster's with in the offseason? What are you learning from shooting Papa shots?
Maybe he thought that he would be more, you know, more at ease and more comfortable and laid back in an environment like that, rather than being in a tense environment where he feels like he was under the microscope. Maybe that's what he's trying to do. Break down the. I don't know, man. I think it's fucking insane. I'm just saying,
like the equivalent of like the Rooney rule, where they were just trying to check off boxes. Like, we don't really want this guy, but we do have to interview him. Let's just bring in the Papa shot and see. Well, so Sam Howell went on to say that he made 2 of 5, so he doesn't think he's very high on our list. So,
well, I'm surprised you don't have anything to say about baseball.
I mean, we
and what's going on with the whole season and potentially now they're going to be missing games. Like, what is your thoughts? Like, are you concerned? I mean, I know we touched on it last week, but things have gotten worse.
I just don't have much to say about it. It's embarrassing. It's pathetic.
You're an avid baseball guy, right? Like
I become less and less of one each year, because I do think they have a real problem making the sport interesting. As you touched on last week, the lightning in the bottle is the playoffs, and they haven't found a way to stretch that over 162 games. You know, they just haven't found a way to do that. And then you put this on top of it. You guys can't fucking figure it out. I mean, the owners have had their way with the players the last few bargaining agreements, and now they're not willing to give anything back to the players. It's just embarrassing. Split the money and play the games. Why? And they know that this is doing so much damage to the sport. It took Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's magical home run contest and run and it's race to 61 and see who's going to break Roger Maris's record. That kind of level of excitement to pull them out of the last time they got in these ugly arguments. We're not going to have that again. So what do they expect?
You have guys like Otani and that are really exciting to watch.
I just think it's going to take a once in a lifetime level of excitement event that you can't game script. It has to happen organically to pull them out of this PR nightmare. And I just don't understand, when they know it's hurting the sport, when they know it's going to hurt their revenue, they're still not coming together to find a solution.
Yeah, not a good look for sure.
Do you have anything to say about it? I mainly didn't bring it up because I thought you said everything.
I just like to know your opinions. Obviously, we touched about it, but now it's like I thought that they would come to a decision now that they're missing games. And I listened to the interviews, it doesn't sound like they're even close. Like it doesn't sound like they're like the disparity between what both sides are asking for is massive.
Huge.
So I don't know. I'm not personally an avid, huge baseball guy, but I know there's a lot of people who love baseball, and you know, it's kind of upsetting. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask about Tick is people need to know last year. And if you're not aware of this, I mean, most people aren't because we weren't doing the podcast at this time, but the ticket went on a run of a lifetime this time last year for March Madness. It was legit the hottest I have ever seen the ticket. He was taking his Bruins. He was betting them hard and they were making a deep, deep push in the tournament. It was pretty amazing how just dialed in. I want to ask, how much have you been paying attention? I mean, March Madness is literally here. I mean, tournament's about to start. Have you been focused and following college basketball? Do you have a couple horses that you want to ride going in the tournament? A couple teams you like? I'm curious to know because I have become enthralled.
You have.
We talked about this last time. I mean, there is simply nothing more that I would rather sit down, watch, throw a wager on than college basketball now, which leads us to March Madness, the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about this year. Maybe it was just where I was at headspace. I couldn't get into college basketball, and I kept trying, and I put a game on here and there. I was like, I'm just not into it. And maybe it's because the Bruins kind of stink and West Virginia stinks. But I'll say this past week, I don't know if it was 7 of the top 10 or top 15 teams going down in one day.
Top 6.
I can say I am confirmed in on college basketball now. My mind's in the right place. I'm excited. So all that being said, I like this Baylor team. I think they can sneak.
Do you really?
People. I like Baylor. I like Arizona, obviously. I mean,
Arizona looks amazing.
They just lost. They look amazing. I mean, no one's going to have a perfect record anymore. You always got to keep
Gonzaga.
I was going to say, you always got to keep your eye on Gonzaga. But I don't like them the way I usually like them. I don't know if I had to fill out my bracket today, I think I'd have them going to the Final Four, but I don't think I'd have them in.
See, the problem is Gonzaga is they
championship
play,
game.
They don't play tough teams in their division.
I know it's so hard to evaluate. St. Mary's
just beat them. I mean, but Texas beat them. Who else beat them? They got beaten by, I think it was, who was it? They lost by, like, every time they played a half decent team, they've struggled. And right. I do think
they lost some guys from last year. So it's a much different team this year. Still good, obviously, but it's a much different team. And Mark Few, he always has the team ready for the tournament. So you got to look at that too. And I think they'll make a run. I just don't think they're going to go all the way.
So Ticket, I want to do something where you
go all the way.
I think this could be fun. I want you to give me your top 5 college basketball teams going into the tournament. Who do you think, and I can go first if you want to think about it, who I would like to know who your top 5 teams are, and then I'll give my top 5 teams as well, as far as like who I'm interested in and who I think could make a solid push.
Okay, yeah, you go first.
I'll go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, Arizona out of the gates is, I think, one of the top teams in the country. I think this Kerr guy, he can fire threes at will. They got good pace. I love them very much. Okay.
So is this no particular order, by the way? Is this
no? I'm just giving 5 teams. Just 5 teams. Okay.
Got you. Okay. Arizona.
Texas Tech is my other team. They're not as high up, and I know they just lost to TCU, but this team has length. They have scorers. I mean, I love a team that can dominate the boards.
Yeah.
And I love a team that has, you know, some savviness. They got some players that have been there before. I really like their program. I think that they could make a push. And again, they're not a top seeded team, but I do think that they are a team that can, you know, do some damage. So that would be my second. Third, I like Auburn. I love Pearl. I love what he's about. I think this Jabari Smith, by the way, could be the guy in the NBA draft coming up. He is unbelievable. Have they struggled? Yes, but I do think that there's a lot of pressure on them. And I think like with some of these teams, like every game, some of these non-factor teams, they're bringing their stuff, like their best stuff, because they want to win these games against them. And I think that, you know, Auburn is a team with very well coached that could make a deep splash. I like them a lot. The team that I was going to put Kansas, but they've been terrible recently. I'm going to take Kansas out.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to put Kansas. So we got Arizona, Texas Tech, and then we just said Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
The other team that I like is I got to think now. Give me Baylor. I like Baylor.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I like Baylor. I do. I just, again, they, this last couple games showed a lot to me, right? Mm-hmm. They played Texas. They played hard. They end up winning by 8. They really let me down a couple weeks ago when they lost to Kansas, but yeah. Then they played them again and they dominated.
Yeah. So they played them in Waco and won.
Yeah. I do think that Baylor is a team that is really, really solid and you know, and then the last team, I'm not 100% sure on this team, but I do like them, is Kentucky. I think here's my thing with Kentucky. Okay, you ready? I think Kentucky could either go very, very deep and potentially win it, or they'll be out in like the first or second round. They're very hot or cold. So, but those are my 5 teams. I'd be interested. I the reason I think this is fun is because we can kind of monitor our teams moving forward and see how they do, and maybe, you know, maybe make a little thing out of this.
Yeah, I like where your head's at.
Do you have your 5?
I do have my 5. So I will say, since this is our first week and this is my first week really getting back into it, my head's still not where it needs to be completely on all the teams.
Yeah.
But from what I've been watching this week, I already mentioned, so I'll start off with them. I really like Baylor. I like the adversity that they've overcome. I think that they're a scrappy team. You love to see a team lose against someone, refocus, re-strategize, meet them again a little bit later on, albeit at home now. They were in Waco, and beat a team like Kansas. So I love Baylor. I really like Baylor a lot. And that brings me to my other team. You kicked them out. I'm putting them back in. I love Kansas. I think
you like Agbaji and
Agbaji's what? He's going to be the number one pick in the draft, right? This kid's unbelievable. So you always want to roll with a team who's got a player like that and with a coach like that. I mean, I just think they're, you know, you never want to peak at the wrong time. And I think Kansas is facing some adversity that's going to force them to figure some things out and say, hey, maybe we need to change a few things up. You don't want to figure that out in the tournament. You want to figure that out right now, right before the tournament, right before the championship week. And I think Kansas is going to do that. One of the other teams I like is UConn. I like
UConn. Do you really?
Well, what's that? Do you really? How many UConn games have you watched?
I've watched a few. I mean, they're not bad. I mean, they're good, but I don't know.
The Big East is weak.
I like Providence out of that conference.
I know. I think Providence is a little.
Providence is really good this year.
Anyway, this is my top 5.
I'm sorry. So UConn.
I like UConn, and another team out of the Big East that I like is Villanova. I mean, you can never.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Yeah.
You can never count out Villanova. I like Villanova a lot. And rounding it out, I'm gonna say something. I think you're
gonna take Gonzaga. Neither of us taking Gonzaga.
I think you're gonna think I'm emotional. I like UCLA. I think Johnny Juzang.
I did throw something on them the other day. I did.
And I think Juarez is going to be.
Very good.
He's incredible. He's a very, very good player. He's a very, very good college player. We'll see if
this Campbell, by the way, though, he's got to figure it out. He's got to cut his hair or something. Like, I mean, he was missing everything the other night. I mean, it was like
he can do that.
But sometimes he looks really good.
He looks really good. And last March he showed up for them. I mean, one can say what makes a push in March is not your best players showing up, but it's your role players showing up. When you can have those guys contribute and come off, you know, I think Campbell's that kind of guy. I think he's a big time player. I think he's a guy who loves the big moments. So I think when March rolls around, well, we're already here, but when the tournament rolls around, I think UCLA is going to make another deep run.
I like it. I really do.
And it's
can fluid. I make like, an audible, by the way, Tick? Can I remove Kentucky and switch them with someone else?
I didn't hate Kentucky. I thought Kentucky was a good pick.
Nah, it's never Kentucky. Okay. I want to replace Kentucky with a scrappy team.
Okay.
A team that I think just scratches and claws and has all the makings of a team that can go deep. Oh, wait, I forgot. Duke, give me Duke. I was gonna say Arkansas. No, give me Duke. Yeah. How could I forget Duke? By the way, I have made more on Duke than any other team. Duke first half is a never lose. It's a never lose.
Really turned into a first half better, and I can't say I disagree with it. I think it's a great
so strategy. Well to go if you take favorites first half, because in the NCAA there's always upsets, but that's at the end of the game. The first half normally belongs to the better team.
Oh, I disagree. I think what makes college basketball so interesting is I think the worst team usually seems to come out firing full of adrenaline. And then you're like, oh, I've seen this story before. Duke's going to come back in the second half and win the game. But anyway, so you're throwing Duke in there. Mike Krzyzewski's last year. I think that's a great pick. I think they got a lot to fight for.
It was between Duke or Arkansas. I can't leave Duke out. I can't believe I even forgot about Duke.
This is a fluid list. This is this week. Next week, all those teams might not even be in our top five.
All right, so let's go over the five. Okay. I had Duke. I had Auburn. I had Texas Tech. I had Baylor. And I had – who was the other team I had?
Arizona, I think.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were my five. Yeah. And then we're going to write these down after so we can keep track of them. Take it. You had UConn, Villanova, you had Baylor, you had Kansas, and you had UCLA.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. And we will keep track of these teams, and our list might be different.
You know what I like about your list?
What's that?
You didn't take the big dogs. I kind of like that.
Well, everything's shaken up right now. So, I mean, the guys who were big dogs last week aren't necessarily big dogs this week. But I do think, man, an honorable mention for me is definitely Duke, a team that's got a lot to fight for and an all-time coach like
last
that.
Year.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, let's move on here now. This is our first week of taking some fan questions.
Fan love.
We want to say thank you to everybody who wrote a question. We obviously can't get to everyone. Maybe you wrote a question this week. We didn't get to it. Maybe we'll use it next week or just keep firing. If your question doesn't make it, I don't want that to discourage you. Keep firing in questions and maybe next week it'll come in. Okay. And even if it didn't get on and you thought it was a great question, fire that same question on next week. So question one comes from a guy, and I don't know if anyone stuck out to you particularly, but I'll throw out the first one and then maybe you can throw out the next one, or I have a couple listed here. So the first one comes from a gentleman named Andy 41 Sire. Okay.
Yeah.
Now this is a guy who reached out to me on Instagram. I don't know. I want to say a couple months ago, and I have not been very present on Instagram. That's something I'm thinking about changing, but my head's been in other places, but I'm trying to regroup back on Instagram. And I apologize to Andy if he's a listener. I never responded to him, and there's nothing against him. I haven't responded to anybody in the last couple months. So I apologize
like
to Mr. Andy.
To get back into it.
I think I am. Yeah, I really think I will be. And it's sort of, the wheels of change are turning in my head. But I think he claimed to be a buddy of yours. Do you know this guy?
I know him. He's hit me up a couple times. He wants me on the pod on his, I guess he has a podcast that he wants me to join.
Oh,
so
that's right. He wanted us to come in and talk about. Okay. So anyway, Mr. Andy Sire, 41, he asks, why is golf still the most uptight game in the world, even with this new wave? And this new wave, I think he's referring to, is younger guys, people like you and Bobby coming in. It's more of a party. We're going to untuck the shirts a little bit and loosen up the game. So I'll throw it to you first. What do you think are some of the reasons that the game is still so uptight?
I mean, listen, I do get it. I do agree that I think that the game needs to loosen up. But at the end of the day, it is a gentleman's sport. It is entrenched with history. And they take that very seriously. They wear that very close to the chest. And a lot of these places are revered. Now, the issue I have is not with the fact that they're a little uptight like that. The issue is with golf that I have is the exclusivity of it all, where it doesn't pertain to certain people based on demographics and wealth disparity and stuff like that. That's not fair. And to me, that's the biggest barrier that needs to be broken in golf, is it needs to be relevant for anybody. You know what I mean? You look in the world, why is soccer the biggest sport in the world? Because it is. Because literally anyone, anywhere can play it as long as they have a soccer ball, you know? So it's regardless of wealth or demographics, where you are in the world, it's something that everyone can enjoy and love. And I'm not saying that golf is ever going to get to that level, but I do think you see more and more, and the pandemic has definitely helped grow the game because there were such little things and different activities that people could do that people started taking up golf more than ever. And now golf has become really, it's become big, as big as it's ever been. Yeah. And I just think that that's great because I think that everyone should be able to enjoy the game. So, you know, regarding the rules and the, you know, the pace of play and uptightness, I agree. That's one thing. But I do really think that the next wave for golf is to really include everybody and really make it an all-encompassing sport that anyone can enjoy, whether you're a female, a male, old or young, rich or poor. It's a great game, and I love the game so much. And I think it should be only fair for everyone to have the same opportunity to enjoy it. So maybe a little bit of a sidebar on that question, but I do think, to me, that is what is the most important thing. And that's why we do our videos, and that's why we do different things, because we want to make it appealing and let people know that you can have a good time out there. It's not all about just what you score and what you shoot, whether you shoot in the hundreds or you're shooting, you know, one or two over par. It's a game that should be enjoyed and loved by everyone.
Yeah, I agree. And sort of branching off from where you took the question, you know, a lot of people point to soccer balls are cheap. All you need is a soccer ball and two trash cans. But what I'll say to that is I've been going to a lot of Goodwills recently because, you know, I'm a cheap guy and I got a new apartment. I'm just looking for cheap chairs and ottomans or whatever. Every single Goodwill I go to, there's old clubs in there. And, you know, yeah. If you're starting the game, you don't need brand new Callaways. You don't need the best clubs in the world. Does it make things a little easier? Sure. But when you're just working on your technique and you're working on how to hit the ball and some of these small things that you're working on in the very beginning of learning how to play the game, just go to the Goodwill and grab two or three clubs. You don't even need all of them. Grab maybe a driver, grab a 9-iron and grab a putter or a wedge of some sort. And that can, I literally was just looking at them. You can get all that for like about $10, three clubs for $10.
That cheap?
And just get out there. Dude, they're really old clubs. But
these things made of wood?
They're still made of wood.
At least you'll be playing.
Well, no, but go to the driving range and just work on your hands and work on your shoulders and squaring up properly. These are things. And then it also is like, make sure you really like the game and then maybe save up some money for some nicer clubs. But the entry point is not that expensive. I think largely what should change is the way that the game, the PGA specifically, is branding to people. Don't make it seem like it's such a premium product, although it is, but just make it seem, the messaging needs to be more accessible to everybody. Yes. Don't make it seem like it's such a wealthy white guy thing, you know?
Fancy club.
Exactly. These country clubs are so pompous and uppity, and just change your marketing a little bit. And make it seem accessible to everybody, as you're saying. I think that was
It'll increase the talent pool for the PGA moving forward. The more people that get into golf, the better, you know, the pool will be of players coming through the ranks. So, I mean,
look at every other sport. It's like our overweight middle-aged athletes.
One of the reasons Tiger Woods has really revolutionized the game is because you look at him, right? He wasn't coming out like out of the gates or super wealthy or all the money in the world. You know, he's a colored kid. He came out, He really dominated the scene, and it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to golf. You know, just creating awareness that, like, this is a game that can be enjoyed and loved by anybody. And he's really done his thing, man. He's, you know, he's put his stamp on the game. And I think that's what we need to continue to see, is people coming and changing the game and just growing it, you know? So, yeah. But anyways, that's our first question. I don't take too much time on that, but that's something I'm pretty passionate about.
So yeah, it is.
So I felt relevant for me to give a little bit more of an explanatory, you know, response for that.
Yeah. And it was a good question too. You know, it makes a good question, makes you think. So good question, Andy, and I'll respond to you at some point, but don't take it personally. Our next question comes in from Chuck number 3. Okay. He asks golf match between Jet and Ticket for final spot in foreplay pod match. Not really a question.
I'm sure
of
that Jet doesn't hear.
let's
roll
say
him over the edge.
It's already
been finalized. And it's happening this spot.
But let's sort of change his question a little bit. I think Jet's, I don't know. I actually golfed with Jet once and I love Jet, and me and Jet are good friends. And I love him. And he's clearly a guy who used to have a lot of talent, who just maybe stopped playing for a while. And now he's trying to find his swing again. But I've seen the kid really put some good holes together. And
you have?
Oh,
because I haven't.
Now we really need to make sure he doesn't hear this.
I love the Jet more than anything, but the Jet's problem is did you hear our podcast this week with Bob?
He's pretty in his head. He's a heady player.
He goes, well, you know, everybody knows I'm a notorious quitter. I said, Jet, that's not what I want to hear when I'm going into battle with someone, that the guy next to me is ready to quit if he shoots a golf ball out of bounds off the tee box, you know? And I think it's, you know, trust me, my mental game in golf is very weak. I am not very good when it comes to being strong and overcoming adversity on the course. But, you know, I just like to think that that is one of the biggest aspects of being a good golfer, is just being able to stay in your own lane, really stay focused. And, you know, when something bad happens, just being able to block it and move forward. Jet doesn't know how to do that, unfortunately. But I'm wishing the best. We got a big match coming up. I really hope that he's going to, you know, feel confident and show that confidence and hopefully be able to contribute a little bit, you know, at the same time as well.
Yeah. And one thing about my golf game, what I will say is, and you know, I'm very tough on myself. Very, very, very tough. Maybe too tough, but
perhaps
I like to keep things in perspective. I don't want to live in delusions. So sometimes I'm often too hard on myself, but I've been going to the range a ton. And I got to say, I figured some stuff out. Am I a great golfer? No, but I just want to know why no one has ever told me that I wasn't keeping my left arm straight. No one ever said that.
Because I don't keep my right arm straight. I'm a lefty. I'm opposite of you.
Yeah.
I don't keep my arm straight either. I bend my elbow.
I don't know how that works for you, because I will tell you this. I've started really keeping my left arm straight, and I don't have a full backswing. I do sort of a half swing until I can get more limber and get that full arm all the way back. But just keeping it straight, it's changed me.
Yeah, I know. People, it's the biggest thing I hear all the time about my swing, is I bend my elbow and I don't keep that arm extended and you know, straight through. Part of it is because I'm swinging lazy. It's all my arms.
Right.
And a big part of it is your torso needs to be swinging around. But your boy needs to lose a couple LBs in order to make that more possible. So,
but also now, you make it work, man. I mean, it's like, it's working for you. Could it get better? That seems like for you, it's going to have to get worse before it gets better.
100% it's going to get worse before.
And who knows if you're willing to do that?
I am absolutely not willing to do that at this point.
All right. Our third and final question comes from a Mr. Ryan Crowley 33. Okay. And what he wants to know.
Crowley coming in hot.
What Mr. Crowley wants to know is top 5 golf course halfway house items. Okay. Right there at the turn, right at hole 9. You know, you usually get your hot dog and you can kind of regroup, get some waters if you need it. And that's sort of what he's referring to. He's not referring to, you know, when you get out of rehab and drug addicts.
No. That's taking the question a different way.
A halfway house. I've never heard it referred to as
I think he house. Means, he means like the, what do you call it?
Yeah, the turn where you get your hot dog and you're.
Yeah,
you're...
but I think that is the term, is a halfway house.
Well, Mr. Maybe. Crowley is taking me to school. Thank you for that, I
just
Ryan.
I just call it, you know, after nine, let's go get a dog, you know. Okay, well, I'll start. I think the hot dog is an absolute no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the right amount of food. It doesn't need much preparation. A little ketchup, a little mustard, and maybe, depending on how you're feeling, a little relish. But throw it down. It's easy to eat, quick, just rejuvenates you, and just enough food to get you through that back nine, keep you feeling good. That if you're going to grab food afterwards, you're still in a good place. That's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, bad things happen to good people when you get two hot dogs. One is perfect. One is perfect. I'll go with the hot dog's great. I mean, it's going to have to fall on my list somewhere, but I'll go with balls because a lot of time...
Oh, geez, that was a left curve there.
Often okay, like my tee shots. And I'm often very low on balls by the time I get the whole 10. So I'm going to go with a sleeve of three balls. And okay. Maybe just some cheap Srixons right there at the turn because, boy, I'm going to need them.
All right. That's a good one. I'll go. The next one is going to be some ice cold beer. How about that? Give me a couple tall boys to finish me off on the back nine. I think that's a great play. I mean, any alcoholic beverage, but I just think a couple tall boys at the turn coming back will really get you back on your feet and get your game going, hopefully.
Okay. Good answer. Well, I'm an alcoholic, so.
Okay. Well, maybe not for everybody.
I am going to go with Gatorade, which was,
all right.
That was going to be my answer regardless of what you said. It's not just to bounce off of the alcohol. I think an ice cold blue Gatorade, if they got
that's
it.
A great play.
It's going to be blue. And then if they don't have blue, they better have red or else.
Have you tried the Gatorade Frost? Like the light blue one? That one is.
Oh, yeah.
That one is. Arctic Frost or something, I think it's
something called. About that's... the color blue and Gatorade. It's just a marriage made in heaven.
Yeah, it's great.
I haven't tried the
lemon
one
lime yet. Is really good too.
Is the clear good? Have you had that one?
I have not. I saw somebody get that yesterday. I was like, what is that?
It just doesn't look as refreshing.
I bet you it's delicious.
Well, it's right.
And then the last one is, I guess we might as well just give one and one, so we each give three. The last one, give me mixed nuts, a package of mixed nuts or trail mix will be my answer. Like, I think that those are great. They're a great snack. They're easy to throw down the hatch. The other thing is, you ever done sunflower seeds?
That was going to be mine.
Okay, you can have sunflower seeds. I'll say mixed nuts or trail mix because I just think it's like, those are easy to eat snacks on the course. They don't take up a ton of space. Sometimes with the chips, they get your hands a little bit, you know, all messed up depending on what you're getting. You know, they get them greasy or whatever. The mixed nuts trail mix slash your play, which will be the sunflower seeds. I just think it's a great, great play. It's easy to eat. And you know, they're not filling. And they still satisfy that little craving of hunger you might have.
Yeah, good source of protein to really get the muscles pumping for the back nine. As we said, I'm going to go with sunflower seeds number three, okay?
Wow.
I grew up, with my dad, baseball player, loves the sunflower seeds. You'll see him. If you see my dad, he's probably got sunflower seeds. And what I used to do that I don't do anymore, I used to eat the shell.
What? Are you allowed to eat the shell?
I used to crunch the whole thing in my mouth, all that salt. Geez. And I don't know if you are allowed to, but I certainly did.
There's no rule that you can't. I mean, I guess
yeah.
No one's coming out and giving you like a technical foul because you ate the freaking seed.
It's that little hit of salt that I just love from the shell.
You know what is impressive to me? And it's like kind of like learning how to blow a bubble gum or a bubble when you have bubble gum.
Yeah.
Never learned how to do is how you could put the seeds in your mouth and these guys are able to break through the shell and eat just the seeds and then spit out the shell. I could never do that.
Well, that's what you do. That's what I do now.
You're able to do that?
Yeah. You eat enough of them. You learn the tricks of the trade, my friend.
I mean, how are you popping those bad boys open and then knowing only to spit out the shell of it?
Technique.
I mean, it's a lot of technique. Yeah, that's a lot of sunflower seed eating. I mean, because to be completely honest, I mean, I can't do that. I've got to literally hold the sunflower seed while I eat it and then pick apart the shell.
Anything worth having ain't going to come easy. I mean, you got to put in the hours. It's like, you do. It's like whistling. I still can't whistle, but I can't say I've really ever tried. All right. I can't whistle. Can you?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Can you hit a couple different notes or can you only hold one note?
Oh, no, I could do a whole melody. Like, give me a song.
Okay.
That's the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, no, I love that show. But it's like, I don't have any desire to do that. I have zero ambition.
Sometimes when you're really happy, it feels good to whistle.
True. It's not for me and I can't do it. And
I'll trade you my whistling skills for a little sunflower seed.
Uninterested. No, uninterested.
That's not a trade you're willing to make.
No, it's not.
all right. On that note, I think we gotta turn the page. Do you have something else that you wanted to add?
I was going to ask you a question, but I think I'll save it for next week. We're already running pretty long on this one.
This is a longer episode. This we really took this and ran here.
That's what happens with the questions.
I guess it's what happens when you give me a mid-lunch, mid-pod lunch that we have to stop recording for. And then you just fill me up with the Jersey Mike's and, now
we're off the races. Now, was that a foot long that you got or was that a
six? By the way, they always say giant sandwich or ginormous. I'm like, how ginormous is it? I went the last time I did Jersey Mike's, I just got the regular sub and it wasn't like a 12-inch, a foot long. It was like a 6-inch. So I was ordering today and said, today, by the way, is National Cold Cuts Day, March 3rd. Okay. So I said, I got to do myself some justice. I got to order a cold cut sandwich. And I said, I saw it. I said, giant. I said, it's not really that giant. Now check the story out that I posted on my Instagram. The thing is gargantuan. It's like two sandwiches. I literally ate half. I'm going to put it in the fridge and the other half will do me in either tonight when I get home from work or probably tomorrow.
Can you imagine how big that sandwich looks in Kenny Pickett's hands?
Oh, Tick. We really brought it today, Tick.
I think we did. I think that was a fantastic episode.
And I really like the fan questionnaires. Is an opportunity to get people more involved. Maybe eventually we'll bring some people on and have them ask some questions. But right now I think this is a good progression for us, a good transition.
I think so too. And I think getting them involved is definitely the way to go and the way we're going to continue forward from here, especially since we don't have a betting segment anymore without football because,
we should do, I mean,
the lines don't come out right
Sunday.
Away.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we'll figure out.
I would like maybe March Madness. We can put out a couple picks.
Oh,
and I will 100%. Be definitely writing down our five teams each and maybe a little wager to see whose team goes.
100%. And we'll be filling out brackets when that time comes. But what's here to stay is the fan questions. That's here to stay.
It was always the fan questions.
It was always the fan questions. And one little announcement before we sign off here is this is going to be our first episode on our YouTube page.
Wow.
We're going to be putting this
little
on.
YouTube coming through. I would have been a little coming in.
We're going to have a little visual aid for you. So we record these things via Zoom. We're going to be posting the Zoom to YouTube. And if you guys want to check that out, go check that out. It's just going to be the Sportsman on YouTube. You'll get to see all our reactions to what we have to say. And it's just another element to the Sportsman. All right, buddy. Well, that's going to do it for the Sportsman today. That's Joey Coldcuts. I'm Neil Arnett. We are the Sportsman. Till next week, folks.
Thanks for tuning in.